and welcome to the fourth year of the LifeSpring Family Bible. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm your host. It's so good to have you join us. This is the first episode of a one-year journey through the entire Bible. We'll be reading about 88 verses a day, and we'll begin with the New Testament book of John, after which we'll go to the Old Testament book of Genesis. As you might surmise from beginning this way, we're not going to read the Bible from front to back, Genesis to Revelation. What we're going to do is go back and forth from the two major divisions of the Bible, the Old and New Testaments. The reason for this is that, as a Christian, I don't want to wait until we're 7 or 8 months into this before we get into the New Testament. I love the Old Testament as much as I do the New Testament. It's all God's Word, but I'm a person who believes in balance, and I want to experience the Old Testament and the New Testament as we go through the year together. In the first few episodes, I'll be reading a few different modern translations, beginning in this episode with the New International Version, but I'll finally be settling in on the Net Bible a little bit later in the year, and that will be courtesy of the good folks over at Bible.org. I encourage you to check those guys out. Speaking of other folks, I would like to acknowledge the wonderful LifeSpring allies for helping to support the LifeSpring Family Bible and actually all of LifeSpring Media. So far, there have been well over 1 million downloads of the LifeSpring Family Bible. As I say, this is the fourth year we're going into, and there have been many hundreds of hours invested in production of the episodes. The LifeSpring allies are listeners, just like you, who make financial gifts to the LifeSpring Media Ministry to help pay for the bandwidth and media storage bills and all those other things that have a tendency to mount up. And I would like to encourage you, if you'd like to become a part of the LifeSpring allies and partner with us to get the Word of God into the computers and MP3 players and other devices of people around the world and actually in their ears and then into their hearts, I would be most appreciative. Just log on to support.lifespringmedia.com for details, and I will thank you for that. This year, the only commercial messages that you're going to hear on the LifeSpring Family Bible will be an occasional spot that I produce for my own voiceover services or other projects that I may be involved with. I do audiobook production and things like that, and so you'll hear some spots for those as well. I am a professional voiceover artist, and what that means is I do radio commercials, I do corporate video narration, I do video game narration and acting. I do, as I just mentioned, audiobooks and, well, pretty much anything else that requires a voice, an announcer, or anything like that. I've done projects for church productions and podcasts, and, of course, there is the LifeSpring Family Bible that you're listening to right now. I would really appreciate it if you would recommend me to the people you may know who might need my services. Is your church doing a play and in need of a narrator? I'm your guy. Is your business or your employer doing a video for use on the internet? Or are they doing any radio commercials, TV commercials? Send them to stevewebb.net. If you know somebody who needs a podcast intro, give them my name. This is the way that I help pay the family bills these days, and I would really consider it a personal favor if you would send some business my way. Well, enough preamble. This episode here is the longest probably of the entire year, except for possibly the 350th episode, which is at the other end of the year. But normally you'll be listening to a podcast, listening to an episode that's 12 to 15 minutes, something like that in length. I'm 4 minutes into it right here. So we will get right into the Word of God right now. And here we go with the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's hand, has made him known. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, My time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, Fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, Now, draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? His disciples remembered that it is written, Zeal for your house will consume me. Then the Jews demanded of him, What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about men, for he knew what was in a man. That concludes the reading for today. I'm glad you joined me on this first day of the LifeSpring Family Bible. I'm Steve Webb, host of the LifeSpring Family of Podcasts. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.
The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.